Hello world, I am Kate Armstrong and this is Future Talks. For this episode, Tomas Diaz has switched roles from interviewer to interviewee. He's talking with Primi Gels from Meaningful Design Group. Tomas is the founding partner and executive director of the Fab City Foundation, which was established to support the Fab City Global Initiative, a global movement for cities to produce almost everything they consume. Tomas gives us an insight into the mission of Fab City, its network and its structure, as well as the challenges they are confronted with. Currently based in Bali, Tomas discusses some observations he has made about the design and technology ecosystem of his new home and what we can learn from the island's traditions. During the conversation, Tomas shares some details about the upcoming Bali Fab Fest, taking place from October 12 to 22. It brings together local and global innovators to design and prototype possible paths for the island's future towards a regenerative economy. So here is their conversation, and I hope you enjoy.
Hello world, I'm Primi Gels, and I'm here at Jimbaran Hub, the beautiful Jimbaran Hub in Bali, Indonesia. And I'm here with Tomas Diaz, and we're going to talk about Fab City, Fab Labs, and Meaningful Design. Hello Tomas, how are
you? Hello Primi. Good. Apa kabar?
Luar biasa. That's how we say it in Indonesian.
Thank you for the invite and happy to explore some things related with Fab and with design.
Yeah. Amazing. So we're going to have a very insightful and also meaningful conversation today. But first of all, maybe before we go and dive into Fab City and everything else, but tell us a little bit about you and how come you're here in Bali?
Oh, well, I am very quickly because it's a lot of, you know, coincidences that brought me to Bali.
Yeah.
It would make it like too long, but I am from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
I finished my studies as an urban designer.
Yeah.
I ended up by many accidents in Barcelona, where I spent 14 years.
Uh-huh.
And then another series of accidents brought me to Indonesia.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a, those kind of a post-pandemic effects, no, changing life completely.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the opportunity to, yeah, to move and come back to the tropics, I call it, no, to, you know that Bali, and you put it like a perpendicular line now, right,
so
now.
One line with.
And you will get in the other side of the planet in Venezuela.
Oh, wow, so, I didn't know that. Wow,
yeah,
that's amazing.
So Bali and some other parts of Indonesia are actually the antipodes of Venezuela. So it feels like home. So
I'm back
to the tropics, but also in some way back home, only like a latitude south.
Not that's amazing. So it's very interesting because it has all the connection about what we're going to talk about and dive in more in this conversation. But tell us about Fab City. What actually Fab City is?
But Fab City is a global initiative that has been growing organically out of the Fab Lab network. It has been a big effort, especially from the Center for Bits and Atoms, the Institute for Advanced Architecture of Catalonia, the Fab Foundation, and initially the Barcelona City Council.
Ah.
Right. So I say that it comes out of Fab Labs because since a couple of decades, Fab Labs, which is the acronym of Fabrication Laboratory, have been spreading all around the world, right? Again, organically, you know, we don't tell people to set up Fab Labs. It just come out of the deep local demands of creating a lab. So these labs have a great potential to democratize the access to the means of production, right? So these are great platforms for people to learn about the potentials of digital fabrication, right? Which adds a very interesting layer into other two digital revolutions. The digital revolution in computation, in supercomputers, and the digital revolution in communications. So we have the internet.
Mm-hmm.
When we add fabrication to that, then you basically have the opportunity to connect the physical and the digital world more fluidly, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense to disconnect it, actually, because the sense that the digital is not physical is not true. Because
it's not true. You still have people to need to work on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You influence the movement of things with digital platforms, but also our phones are made out of materials, right?
Yeah,
they need energy. The energy is created using the digital world, the physical world. Physical. And then, you know, the servers that manage the cloud, it's not a cloud. It's actually, they take a very big
physical,
chunk
of
computers.
Yeah,
right? So digital fabrication is kind of creating this relationship in a more fluid way. Mm-hmm. It means that we can turn bits into atoms and atoms into bits, right? So imagine, like, if internet revolutionized dramatically how we live, work, play, basically how, you know, how we fall in love, how we unfold in love, how we learn, how we work, right? Like, and it's transformed dramatically the economy, has shifted the money from some hands to others, right? Look at the Kodaks and the Instagram, for instance.
Sure.
Now, digital fabrication, we believe, is going to impact profoundly into society, right? Because it will give us the opportunity to reorganize the way we produce and consume things, which is one of, in my opinion, one of the root problems of the climate disaster that we have right now, and also of a social inequality built from the limited access to the means of production. So by democratizing them, we have the opportunity of reshift a little bit, you know, the global economy, in my opinion, give more power to local communities and make them more resilient, especially, you know, in the times to come, in which unpredictable events are going to be increasing. And Fab City is trying to push this agenda, right? And trying to make Fab Labs, which are already there, 2,000 and something Fab Labs around the world, to engage into a bigger mission, right? I think Fab Labs had been going from, you know, let's say from a very technologically oriented phase to try to find their purpose in a way, right? So first we had the challenge of dominating the technology. I think we achieved that so many years ago already. And I think they have moved from that direction to impacting education quite heavily.
Yeah.
And I think now they can make even a bigger commitment and start to impact their local communities outside their own spaces. No? So
that's great. That's fascinating. So how does it connect to Bali? What does it mean? You know, all the initiative and even the meaning and the purpose of what you guys are to have been doing in Fab City. What does it mean to be bringing it here to Bali?
Well, it connects to Bali, and it connects with everywhere else in you know, every other city and region that is part of a Fab City Global Initiative. No, we have a network of 41 members. This involves
cities,
entire cities, regions. Mm-hmm. You know, in France or in Mexico, we have entire regional bodies being part of the Fab City Initiative. We have the Kingdom of Bhutan as one of the members, which, by the way, they're just launching an incredible local program on Fab Labs and a super Fab Lab, which is also coming. So in this kind of remote areas where local manufacturing and local capacity is even more needed, no? So we see these kind of things also happening in Bali, no? Mm-hmm. Of course, each one of these places has its own nature, its own identity in a way, no? And that's, I think, what Fab City is looking at, no? It's not basically, you know, standardizing with one type of technologies, one type of approach, what everyone else does, but also recognizing the potential of the local of the local ecosystems. No?
Yeah.
And you know, having all these cities and all these regions, they're 41.
Yeah.
And it brings us a big challenge. No? How we can make this plan operational? Because at the end, what Fab City is looking is for cities and regions to produce locally as much as they consume, right? This is the
that's a big dream about, and that's a big vision to achieve. Because what the challenge here would be, cities have different culture, different background, different opportunities, and different resources. And you mentioned earlier about there's the technology, there's the community, there are those things that you need to build. How do you do that?
Well, that's the thing. Like, one thing is to say, let's change, you know, the way in which we produce and consume.
Yeah.
The main argument for us to explain this is, like, let's make bits of information to move globally, right, using the internet, and let's keep atoms moving locally, you know, in the words of Kate Raworth, because they are heavy. They are better handled locally, right? So we keep like a, more like a circularity at the local level and then connectivity at the global level. But the challenge is like, okay, how do you translate that into local ecosystems? And, and the response to that is the Fab City Food Stack, let's say. Or it's not the, I mean, it's not unique response, but it's the way in which we are trying to unpack the challenge of, that we call from product in, trash out, to data in, data out, into the different layers in which we can, you know, develop specific action items in which we can measure what we're doing. No? These seven layers are very easy, right? Like one of the things that Fab City are rooted, and I explained this before, is in the network of Fab Labs, which are also rooted in the, you know, the scientific background led by the Center for Bits and Atoms at MIT, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are really trying to look on how, again, make bits into atoms and atoms into bits more fluidly. Yeah. But then, on top of this FabLab network, we have also been developing educational programs, right? Like in the past, you know, the Fab Academy, for instance, is running now for over a decade and has graduated a couple thousands, a few thousands of people. We also have seen projects coming out of this network, so this is in an innovation layer.
Yeah.
They need to land into a community, they land into a territory, this territory has a bioregional dimension, and then this is part also of a global network.
Yeah.
In some way, I just explained the, all the seven layers of the food stack, which is, a, again, it's a framework that we are testing, developing. Of course, it's flexible, we hope to for it to evolve over time. But again, it allows us to really make very concrete actions.
Yeah,
you know, work with the labs, work with educational programs at the Fab Academy, but create new programs like the Master in Design for distributed innovation. So really using this distributed network of labs, machines, people, knowledge, to build that distributed model of cities, of region, of the future. And one of the fascinating things about Bali is that it's community organization, right? You know, being here for, I mean, I have been coming here for many years, but like when you are really in a place for longer time, you can really start to understand, you know, more profoundly certain things that that look great from the outside.
Distance,
this is like a, but then when you understand the implications of, you know, the ceremonies and the traditions that are kept in this
and the tourism.
We would go back to that. But the it means like how the community organizes itself to keep its own traditions. And the role of the binders, for instance. How interesting is that for, you know, other peoples of the world to learn how the binders function, right? Like these territorial organizations or community cells that have agency over the roads, over the infrastructure, and they take decisions building consensus, which is something that, you know, I wouldn't say, I would say in other parts of the world we forgot about that, right?
Because that's very uniquely Bali, and I think that's really helped, or that can contribute to some of the full stack we just talking about, the community, how you build that into the community.
So, for instance, how we evolve from, you know, 51% basically decides what the other half does, right? And impose it, right? And I think like that's maybe one of the roots of the polarization that we see everywhere, no? So building consensus is something that we can learn from Bali. We can learn from Bali also on keeping certain traditions present, right? Like, and that's done through, you know, through an amazing approach, which is the Tri Hitakarana, for instance. The world should adopt this as part of it, you know. I think it will solve a lot of the things, simplify. You know, we talk about SDGs, la la la, but then, you know, this is as simple as we want to be good spiritually, right? With each other and with our environment. That's it. Hitakarana, right?
Very simple.
The world needs to learn from that, right? And then I think that, of course, we can also bring some of the advanced technologies, et cetera, but this craftsmanship here that, you know, there are things that people can do with their hands that no machine will ever do. So I think like this kind of a relationship that we can create, we call it the creative tension between the new and the tradition, between technology and crafts, and, you know, between the local and international, in a constructive way, creating the environment, you know, to work on that creative tension, I think it's where we can really start to experiment to see something new coming out of it.
Innovation.
Right? Exactly, right? Yeah. And that brings opportunities, right?
Yes,
and I come
definitely.
Back to your comment about tourism, no? Mm-hmm. So we have seen, you know, and I lived the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
Like I saw the empty valley,
yeah.
which is something unthinkable. I was here in October 2019 and then managed to come back again in March 2020.
Yeah.
And two different worlds, no? The full island, right, of tourists everywhere. And then from, since the impact of the pandemic, it's an empty island. And then, of course, a lot of the economic activity depends on that,
yeah.
the tourism model. So the post-pandemic tourism is, as we see, is taking a lot of work to come back to the numbers from before. But the question is like that. Do we really want to go back to those numbers? Do we
yeah.
really want to keep like a pushing this extractive model of tourism
yeah.
in which people come here for just a short time, they go to the Instagrammable
yeah.
places, the Balinese learn how to be waiters, waitresses, and serve, right, like the international visitors, and that's it. And in some, most of the cases, people leave not all the other value, but money.
Yeah.
And the question is that, even though like is that money, all that money staying in Bali? That's not the case because there's a lot of international investment, for
yeah,
instance.
Yeah, definitely.
So the opportunity for this in moving to a more, you know, creating an innovation ecosystem, a permanent innovation ecosystem in Bali, and trying to connect, you know,
yeah.
deep or keep this creative tension
yeah.
going, is also a way to think about like the future identity of Bali. As a place that attracts talents, that attracts people that are trying to figure out how to address climate change,
yeah.
how to deal with cultural differences, how to deal with social inclusion,
yeah.
and come here, spend more time, get to know, because
yeah.
that's a way also to justify the
yeah.
efforts of coming, getting to know better those details, that granularity,
yeah.
contribute to what's
yeah.
happening here, learn and go back, right? Okay. So that's
yeah.
as simple as this.
So that's very interesting because that's a great initiative to start for something that is like very visionary for the Fab City initiative, as well as what the things and the technology and the innovation that has been done
yeah.
in the Fab Labs network. But then there's that connectivity with Bali. How do you plan to do this in Bali to start encompassing all of that initiative in Bali?
I mean, we already started, in a way, right? We are in the middle of the preparation for the Bali Fab Fest, which is, again, as I said before, is a series of accidents, beautiful
yeah.
accidents,
beautiful accidents.
Also brought the Bali Fab Fest to Bali, which basically combines the Fab City Summit,
mm-hmm.
which is the global event that we organize for the Fab City Network and the Fab City Global Initiative.
Yeah.
At the 17th International Fab Lab Conference, which is the yearly gathering that we do within the Fab Lab network,
yeah.
right? So this will be a 10-day event in October.
That's pretty lengthy.
Yes, it's a, again, like to justify
yeah.
the movement of atoms, right? Like
yeah,
people will be flat. Some people, I think, like maybe 40 or 50% of the attendance will be flying from overseas. And we expect a lot of local involvement right, into the event. And then during these 10 days, we aim to create a sample or a test of what it could be, right?
Mm-hmm.
To create this creative tension.
Yeah.
I want to insist on this, in an environment that is ready to help things to happen, right? It's, you know, we're going to have here at the Jim Baran Hub, it's going to become like a Fab City campus, right? Like a temporary small Fab City that you
yeah.
can see, you know, actually there are already some things in place that
yeah,
the team...
It's already happening,
no? On waste management, on the projects that are coming, relationship with water,
yeah.
in the Fab Lab, or a couple of Fab Labs that we will
yeah.
have in Jim Baran
yeah.
During the event and after the event, no?
Yeah.
So the whole idea of this is that this, again, this serves as a, almost like as a prototype
mm-hmm.
of what it could be a permanent program.
Yeah.
Not only in Bali, but in the rest of Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
in relationship with open innovation, right? With a new approach to innovation that doesn't only include innovation happening in companies, separately from government, separately from industry, separately from society, but actually kind of bringing everyone together, no? And if you see the speakers or the partners of the of events, try to bring everyone together, right? People that usually don't speak, people coming from different industries, from different backgrounds, and to create this very needed dialogue, in my opinion, between people that might disagree in certain things, between people working on unconnected fields, but in some way they could
connect. Something they can connect.
Absolutely, right.
So, talking about the people that are going to come, 10 days event, that's pretty lengthy. There's a lot of things that's going to happen. So, can you share with us and with the audience as well, what kind of people are coming, actually? What type of people are coming to this event? Like, who's going to be in the summit? Who's going to be in the conference? And probably in some other areas that's going, or some other activities that's going to happen in the event.
I think it's very difficult to describe what kind of people. Because it's usually, you know, there are people that, of course, are experts in their fields. But I think, like, one of the common... I think like one of the common things that most of the people participating in the Fab Fest has is they're like it's had this hybrid profile. So it's people that you cannot put them in one thing.
Like one category.
Exactly, no? So is this person working, you know, in fashion, but it's also fashion with sensors, with actuators, and interaction, right? Or you can talk about I don't know, thinking about, oh, you have this person as a scientist of a very top university, but it's not just staying there. It's also doing open innovation, working with communities. It's the case of Manu Prakash, no? From Stanford. Previously, I mentioned our fashion technologist and amazing maker is Anouk Wiprek. You know, Cesar Harada, also someone that started the Maker Bay in Hong Kong, but also an activist and a maker on ocean conservation. And he's going to be doing some projects related with generation of hydrogen.
This is amazing. These are big stuff, but I also, from what you're saying, I'm sensing that the inclusivity of that is happening right here in this event. So Bali Fab Fest will bring in people that has the brain, that has the technology, but also that sense of passion. And that is also open to be accessed by communities, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point here is, again, like trying to demystify that this is like the maker stars or the top scientists, which by no means they are. They have this attitude. These people that in their own work, they're inclusive, right? Like, again, like these two examples that I mentioned. But then the whole point here, and I see the potential I see, is that together with other local, you know, maker heroes like Nadia Javina, or like Yanur Yasa, Omar Artana, these are people like also putting very strong innovative agendas in relationship with community organization, with energy, with materials, you know, the work that some professors from Udayana University for BRIN also, which is a national Indonesian agency. It's incredible, right? And somehow, what we want is to bring these people together, right? Like I say, hey, we share somehow approaches on how to think about the future, how we can enable this to happen in Bali and Indonesia, right? And that, of course, will bring, you know, makers of all ages. Especially, as I said before, we expect more than 50% of the participants to be locals, right? To be from, again, not only from Bali, from Indonesia.
Okay, that's great.
One of the beautiful things of Indonesia, and something that is worth mentioning, is that being a 17,000 plus archipelago, you know, you have kind of almost like this uttermost need of creating distributed means of production.
Yes.
Right? That you can serve remote communities with the local capacity for energy generation using hydrogen or ocean thermals, or you can produce locally certain type of foods using, you know, hydroponics or aeroponics that wouldn't be possible with the soil available there.
Yeah.
Or have small manufacturing facilities or mini fab labs that will help people to feed stuff instance, repair and to prototype things that they can, you know, keep implementing into their things, which is also part of the culture here. Like, you see how people, the Indonesians are makers.
Yeah, it's definitely that, because we find ways to do things. The DIY thing is something that's very big in Indonesian culture, because we people do things with our own hands and with whatever we have around us. And I think it's going to be great to have to bring all of this to the local wisdom that they already have. This is amazing. There's a lot of potential to be explored just from not even like the big vision yet, but even through the Bali Fab Fest event in itself. There's already, like, I can see so many things to be potentially developed.
Exactly, and that's why it's important to have an approach to design.
Yeah.
That is different. And I'm not talking design about, designing clothes or design interior design or product design, but design as an act of creating connections, right, between agents, creating connections between systems, right? It's a lot of... super important to really, a design those environments in which people is going to be enabled to collaborate, to come together.
Yeah.
And that's what we call meaningful design, right? Like I'm giving, that meaningful feeling of what you're doing is contributing to...
Yeah, how it's going to affect. It's not just the design that you have something that is creatively out of your mind for that moment, but... it's going to be implemented, it's going to be useful for so many, impactful in fact, to so many other things around us. And it's people's life, it's production, it's the economy.
It's relationships, right? It's you kind of weaving relationships as you are designing. And then this designing means like, not only create a product or an object, but it's design relationships, design devices, design moments in which things happen, experiences, but then at the end, this whole process, this meaningful process of design, I believe that brings back this very simple and very profound approach, again, that the Balinese have to life, right?
Like,
how do you design something that fulfills you, that you feel that it aligns with your values, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of in alignment with the gods.
Yeah.
How you design something that is not only good for you, but also good to the others, right? Like to the people around you. And the people around you is not only the next to you, but also planetary thinking.
Yeah.
Right? Like people around
you. The same planet.
Exactly. And then finally, in relationship to that, is also design meaningful things for the planet, for the environment, right? It's coming back again. I know it's been used so many times and exploded, but it's the simplicity and the profoundness of the Trihita Karana applied into this meaningful design approach, which we have a 10-day test of it, but we hope that this becomes a permanent, permanent environment.
To be created. In Bali starting, hopefully it will expand.
To Indonesia, to ASEAN,
and
then to the world. And I think it's also to think about there are new centralities in the world.
Yeah.
Also, I think I've been in Europe for so many years, and I understand the way Europe has in the history of many countries. I'm from Venezuela, I'm half Spanish, half Venezuelan. I'm colonized and colonizer, and I understand the historical processes. I think we share with Indonesia and the region, history of how, the rich resources of our countries were really attractive for those, and they were also the reason for some centralities to form.
Yeah.
But I think the world is becoming, more distributed, and we need to enable that process in which we then create the feedback loops and be humble enough. I say now I'm wearing my Westerner hat to learn from the world. And I think we need a lot of that.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So the question about this is that we talk about the Fab City, the full stack, and then there's the event, the Bali Fab Fest. So I can see that this event must be then curated around the full stack. So why is this important in realizing the Fab City vision, let's say, when you design the event, in itself around the full stack.
Yeah, I mean, there's something interesting to mention in relation to this, which is that I would say like more than 70% of the event is crowdsourced, right? So we had an open call for members of the international community, and now actually the local communities are also proposing theoretical workshops, practical workshops, panels, talks, and research papers also.
Yeah.
So that content comes from the community, right? What is the exercise that we do when we say about content curation? Right? In one hand, we reinforce that that program with speakers, which are not only speakers, as you know, let's bring some famous name, but it's also people that have contributed with us in the past and that we have built relationships.
Yeah, type of people.
And also identifying those local representatives of ideals and the things that we can relate to what we're aiming to do.
Yeah.
But then at the end, our work is you know, translate this into an actionable thing so that you can understand, okay, how this educational approach to digital fabrication can be linked to the transformation of an entire bioregion, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's where mapping all this crowdsource program with this symposium as well is also going to be like that. It's going to be organized around the full stack.
Yeah.
Then we're going to start to relate things that we don't relate. Like how a 3D printer is related to, I don't know, blockchain applied to design. Well, because if people have access to fabrication, then this is going to create friction with the existing intellectual property model.
Yeah.
Then we will need to figure out how we invent the intellectual property model that is not extremely protected, based on centralized model of productions, but actually based on distributed models of production, right? An opportunity to explore this is blockchain. We don't have the answer, again, but we start to create
it
that kind of linkages.
It opens the door
to
have this conversation, to start a conversation, and then hopefully an action towards something that is more practical.
And that's what we have to deal with, right?
Like, yeah.
That's why in how we want to deal with developing the FabCity Global Initiative. It's not coming with, these are, you know, this is what you have to do. That we don't tell that to cities, for instance. We don't tell this to Fab Labs either.
Oh, yeah.
We say, well, this is our shared vision. We are building it together. We propose to organize this, to organize the vision around this framework that can take us to action.
Yeah.
Let's create evidence about it. One of the main challenges we have now, and I believe in the next 5 to 10 years, is to create evidence, which is something that, you can say, okay, but, you know, which FabCity has really transformed already? Okay, we just launched in 2014.
Yeah.
We're talking about trying to change a 200-year-plus model of production, right? And and the first thing that we need to do is to start to get small evidence, right? And that's something that we have done inside Fab Labs, right? First, by creating the laboratories itself, and then on top of the Fab Labs, creating programs like the Fab Academy, we're starting to create evidence that it's possible to learn differently. Mm-hmm. That you can learn by doing, and while learning, you can create projects.
Yeah.
And those projects have the potential to impact communities.
Yeah.
So we have created some evidence in some layers of the full stack, you know? But it will be the upper layers, the ones related to how does this change the territory?
Yeah.
How this is gonna change the way in which a city uses water and kind of the relationship with its forest or with its wildlife? It's that's where we have to go. We don't have the answer.
Yeah.
We are creating the conditions to
find
the answers.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, as a let's say, a non-technical person, listening to how you talk about this, I think what I can see there is that you set up a pillar. And then there's room for still, because this involves designs, and this involves culture,
science,
and science. There's so many other elements. And then, once again, people tend to think like, okay, you're dreaming big, and then we want to see big things start happening like tomorrow, right? But I see the beautiful side of this is that when you design it around the full stack, even from my, let's say, common understanding, I can see that this can build the small little things that really matter on that scale. But all together being done at the same time, the scientists, the innovators, the makers, the communities, the activists, even for any type of theme that is happening, they're doing things now in, let's say, integration to each other, because now they've been brought together. And I see that this is like, for you, all of you watching, this is why the Bali Fab Festival is huge and important, and you cannot miss it. Because this is where the integration can potentially happen, so that people can be brought together and connect and align with each other and find that sweet spot that you mentioned earlier about how can we actually work together and make things on a bigger scale of impact, but with the from where we are at, as a person, as individuals, as community. So how can, for example, people like me or whoever is watching this podcast and video, how can we participate? How can we partake in this creation, let's say, even through the event itself?
Yeah, I mean, the Fab City Summit and Fab Conference, which is the combination of events that bring the Fab Fest together, have already engaged the community members of both networks, right? And through the open calls and also preparation videos that we have done, we have been welcoming some of the more active community to be part of it. We're inviting people to participate, especially, you know, we have put emphasis on coming to Bali.
Yeah.
Right, for those that are planning, you know, to engage fully in the 10-day event, even longer.
Yeah.
And we're also inviting people to consider come longer. When, you know, with the visa on arrival program, you can stay for up to 2 months.
Yeah.
Right, and then, as you know, here in the Jimbaran Hub and the partners that we're working with, we are providing that opportunity for researchers, designers, scientists to stay longer and connect to projects, right, and not coming just for the event, right, to create more deeper and meaningful and relationships with what is happening here, right? For the Balinese, you know, there are, of course, ways to participate. There is the open call is now happening.
Yeah.
Let's see when the video comes out public, but there is an open call that we're pushing hard for getting local workshops, local panels, local talks, which could be also in Bahasa Indonesia, in Indonesian. And also, there is a, you know, if you just want to take us, you know, a look, come on the Thursday 20th of October, which will be open for the public, completely free for anyone to come and visit and see what's happening and have a glimpse, you know, in one day of what people is doing. No? Mm-hmm. I think that those would be ways to engage.
Definitely. So now that we're talking about all of that, I think we can just invite everyone who's watching this video to come and join the Bali Fab Festival. But I think there's also this one thing that is very interesting for me, and I'm curious about it, is that because Bali is now the venue for the Bali Fab Fest in itself, there's the community involvement in there. Is there any specific community involvement that's going to happen throughout the event that's going to be like making like a Bali special for this project?
Absolutely.
Can you elaborate more about that?
Yeah, this is something that we're doing for the first time in the history of the events, of the Fab events, and it's the Fab Island Challenge, which is, you know, a 10-day, 10 challenges, 10 teams working together to try to address some of the problems identified with local partners in Bali, right? So we're going, again, in the search of that evidence that we are looking for. We are, you know, creating this very intense kind of a hackathon kind of spirit of people coming together and trying to figure out how to improve the work that the people of Plastic Exchange is doing.
Yeah.
Or how to connect more the digital tools with bamboo construction, being bamboo one of the great carbon negative materials. Working also with the ocean conservation, hydrogen generation.
Yeah.
So partnering with the local universities, with global scientists coming together and see how we can prototype alternatives to local generation of energy, for instance. No? So these 10 challenges, which are addressing, you know, waste, water, nature conservation, etc., etc., are the kind of the main for me, like one of the main features of, yeah, of this of event, and one of the unique features of this event. And in this way, we are already, you know, this comes from these months of preparation, on the kind of building the relationships with local initiatives. I are already working on this space, linking them with international members of our network,
yeah,
and then also creating the conditions for them to collaborate during the Fab event on that, not during the Fab Fest.
This has been a very interesting conversation that we are having. But one of those things that I catch also from your from the conversation that we're having is that there's a lot of things that is going to happen in the Bali Fab Festival, and part of a big part of that is also connecting all the communities. But then we have experienced this before. We have a lot of events, people come and connect, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to be different about this time? You know, how can people stay connected even after the event?
Well, I mean, the whole spirit of this event is not to make it as an end itself.
Mm.
So the event is not where things end, it's where things start, in our opinion, right? Like, and also it's where the efforts from the Meaningful Design Group and the Fab City Global Initiative are going to be put, no? So, you know, what we have been doing from Fab City Foundation in the last couple of years is to not focusing only like a once a year event as the Fab City Summit, but also every 3 months having the Fab City Roundtables. And this is a way to stay connected and not wait only for, you know, another year to do something that doesn't make sense. No, that's at the international level, and also that's why, you know, the format of the Fab City Summit has become more distributed, right? We wanted to make a special effort on bringing people to Bali because it has been a couple of years since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because there are things from what is happening here that they cannot put in a screen,
definitely,
unfortunately, because also in places like Bali and the rest of Indonesia, and this happened before in previous events that we did, you know, I remember in New Zealand or in Japan. Mm-hmm. They have a special significance because they come into places where, you know, there is some ecosystem that is kind of a hidden in the woods.
Yeah.
And then when there is coming the event, then you suddenly, they pop up.
Yeah.
And then that's what is happening also. It's like people is getting to us and say, hey, we are the 3D Printing Association of Indonesia, right? Hey, we have a makerspace / Fab Lab here. Hey, and we have been doing this amazing work on machine building in Indonesia or in materials. And then you suddenly realize that, wow, this is such a fertile ground. And then, you know, there have been very little efforts on connecting them.
Yeah.
Because I understand, you know, there is like a very traditional approach as to where innovation should happen, where research should happen. That's for universities or that's for companies, but here we're talking about people that don't fit into a single thing, right?
Yeah.
So our intention is to create after the event, and this is also mainly bringing the Meaningful Design Group work on and the CAS Foundation work, is to bring
main host, local host.
Yeah, is to build a a permanent space for this approach to open innovation to continue, right? And to engage the existing communities that are, you know, already making with a lot of their own effort, with their passion, things, and try to influence and convince the decision makers to, you know, to basically help them to come up, right? And this is what we have been doing with Fab City at the end. We convince the governments to support the grassroots organizations.
That's very important.
Or give excuses for the grassroots to put more pressure into the governments to do things towards a, you know, an agenda of regeneration and distributed systems of production, right?
Yeah.
So after the event, for sure, we're going to engage into keeping, you know, the this conversation going. In Bali, where we are a node of the Master in Design for Distributed Innovation, which is a new master program which is distributed around the world, launched by Fab City and IAC Barcelona. Also, where we hope that after the event, a couple of Fab Labs in Bali are going to be a legacy, right?
Ah, yeah, that's nice.
They're going to be permanent labs in that we hope to become, you know, accessible and available for the community to bring ideas and to prototype them. Yeah. We also hope to bring more exposure to existing labs and for people to identify and connect them and continue collaborations after.
Yeah.
We hope also to, I hope that in January we can start a Fab Academy program in Indonesia.
Yeah.
There's already two graduates of Fab Academy, or three graduates of Fab Academy at the Fab Lab at UGM in
wow.
Jakarta. So that's for sure it's going to start to, these are seeds, it's
yeah.
usually the Fab Academy is a way to, to fertilize these grounds and to bring the people to the machines,
yeah.
right? We usually think about, machines,
but
it's people mainly.
Yeah.
Out of these programs and out of this connection with communities and us agitating the entire ecosystem from Meaningful Design Group and CAST, again,
yeah.
from the grassroots to the higher instances, we
yeah.
hope that in the middle we can bring this open innovation
yeah.
platform for developing projects, programs,
yeah.
events, to continue this agenda, to align all these forces. We don't need to tell them, they already are passionate about it, convinced
yeah.
about it,
yeah.
that their work should focus on making technology more accessible and meaningful for people,
yeah.
And also especially to work towards climate change,
wow.
and build the alternative model of production that is going to allow us to keep inhabiting this planet.
Yeah. Wow, that's good to know that already a great plan is already in place, right, to do after the event. So that's very, very, like for me personally, and I hope for everyone watching, is also like something to give us a peace of mind that this is not just for the hype of a one-time event, that's something that is happening in Bali, but things are actually being put in place, not only going to affect Bali in itself, but also Indonesia, ASEAN, and also everything that is connected in the Fab Lab and the Fab City community all around the world. So thank you very much, Thomas, for this.
Thank you, Prilly. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Ciao.
Future Talks will come back.
Bye.
Bye.